Amen. Always enjoy the good season of prayer. If you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33. We're going to be there just a few moments, and then we'll move over into the final chapter, and we may finish up our study in the book of Deuteronomy. We've just kind of highlighted some things. It hasn't been our attempt or purpose to go each verse, but we certainly have covered some ground in the book of Deuteronomy, and I trust, if nothing else, it's whet your appetite for a deeper study in the book of Deuteronomy itself. Once you find Deuteronomy 33, you can stand to your feet. We'll read Deuteronomy 33. We'll begin our reading in verse number 26. And we'll read through the remainder of the chapter. And then after we read, we'll have a brief word of prayer and then get right into the study tonight, okay? Deuteronomy 33, we'll begin our reading in verse 26. I'll read aloud. You follow along as I read. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. That is a term of endearment for the children of Israel. The word means upright or the upright ones. It's closely akin to our word when we use the word saints. And so I guess you have to smile when you read that, when you think of the children of Israel, the people of Israel being upright. But as we mentioned last week, it's talking about they're standing before God, you know, just like us. God calls us saints. Doesn't he? When he addressed the churches, even the church at Corinth, he said, Paul, I want you to address them as saints. Now, he listed a list of things that was going on in that church. And God views us differently than we view ourselves. And God views us differently than others view us. And it's always good to keep that in mind. That's our difference between our standing and our state. All right? And so he said, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel, then, shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord? The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And so with that, we'll go before the Lord in prayer. And then I want to make some comments in chapter 33, before we move over into the final chapter. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to possess your Word. You have given us your Word in our own language. You have inspired your word. You have preserved it even unto this generation forever. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we know that we have the eternal word of God in our possession. Help us not to take this for granted or to take it lightly, but to stand in awe and to respect and pay reverence and be obedient and to thy word, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I want you to turn back to chapter 33. You may remember Moses now we'll look at verse number 1. Moses is moving off, and I want to kind of pick up where I left off and point out a few things. Don't know how far we'll get tonight, but if I don't finish, that's fine. We'll pick up another time. Moses had written a song God had told him in chapter 32, I want you to write a song. I want you to teach it to the children of Israel. And he did. And what a song it was. We talked about the song for the most part. I hope that you read the song in your own hearing and in your own private time. It had a lot to say about the character of God. It had a lot to say about the attributes of God and how that God would always be there for his people. And now when we come to chapter 33, we move from the song into the blessing. After the song was written, God had said in chapter 32 and verse number 45, Moses made an end of the speaking of all the words to Israel. And he said, you know, the song's over. And he said, you know, I've taught it to you. And Moses is getting ready to pass off. Now, I want you to notice what happens here. This is a real blessing to me. Here's a man that he knows he's getting ready to pass off the scene. God has made it very clear to him. You're getting ready to exit earth. And your days, possibly even your hours or minutes, are numbered. And I just want us to, as we move through this, to notice Moses' attitude. His attitude. And I've been thinking a lot about, you know, there was a prophet, and you can write this verse of scripture down. There was a prophet, a false one, but he was a prophet, Balaam, who made a statement in Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 10. He said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he said, I want to die the death of the righteous. There's a lot of people that want to die the death of the righteous. There is a huge difference, and I'm certainly not going to get into it in detail tonight, between the death of the righteous and the death of the unrighteous. The Bible certainly elaborates in detail the death of the righteous and the death of the unrighteous. There are some similarities because it does rain on the just and the unjust alike, but there's also some great differences in their deaths. The Word of God says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's found in Psalms 116, verse 15. In Ezekiel, I think it's 33:11, the Lord said that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so here was a prophet who cried and said, I want to die the death of the righteous. I'm not so sure that Balaam didn't have Moses in mind when he made that statement. I will say this. In order to die the death of the righteous, you've got to live the life of the righteous. All right? And so there's a lot of people who say, I want to die right. But in order to die right, you've got to live right. Amen. That's right. And so I think that we all ought to just really take that in consideration, that one day we're going to leave here. We don't know when it is. Now, Moses knew, and there has been some questions in the past, will God let one of his children know when it's time to check out of here? Will I know when it's my time? Will God let a person know? You know, the old-timers used to believe that he would. We don't hear a lot about that anymore because most of us, and don't leave here mad at me now, I'm just stating facts, most people get so drugged up on morphine and everything else before they exit this world. They don't know where they're coming or going. But, you know, there was a day when it wasn't that way. And people say that they just knew that they knew that the death angel of God was there to take them to their heavenly home. I know this. The Bible says that the angels of God certainly escorted Lazarus to his heavenly home. And so I don't know all there is to know about exiting this world, but I know this. It pays to be ready. It pays to be ready. If you want to die the death of the righteous, don't get ready. Be ready. Okay? Now, in chapter 33, the Word of God says this, and this is the blessing. Now, Moses taught him a song, and he said, I want you to teach it to your children. He said, I'm getting ready to leave, but I want to bless you. All right? Now, here's a man with the right spirit. See, here's a man that's leaving with the right spirit. He's getting ready to pass off the scene. He said, I want to pronounce a blessing. He's not bitter. He knows he's not going to see the promised land. All right? God said, you're not going in. He has been through a lot of hardship and heartache with these folks here. But yet he's not bitter. There's a young man getting ready to take his station, Joshua. And as we shall see, if we make it to it tonight, in the next chapter, he laid his hands on him as commissioning him to take his place, because Moses knew that this life was not really about him. This life was about God and doing God's will and fulfilling God's purpose that God had put him here for. See, that's the way you can leave here with the right attitude. That's the way I can leave here with the right spirit, is to know I've finished my course. See, Moses finished his course. I'm going to show you that in a moment. And he knew it. He knew, I finished my course. I'm done. Moses didn't die because he was sick. He was in good health. Moses didn't die because he was of old age. You say, well, wasn't Moses like 120? Yeah. But you know what? His father was 137. His grandfather was 133 when he died. His great-grandfather was 137, and his great-great-grandfather, who was Jacob, was 147. So the Bible makes it very clear that Moses had finished his course. God was through with Moses. Moses had done what God had commissioned him to do and brought the children of Israel as far as he's going to be able to take them. He was finished. And so God said, it's time to come on home, son. See, that's the death of the righteous. Are you listening to me? We'll see this in a moment. It was all in accordance to God's word. See, you don't only live by the word of God, you die by the word of God. God's word ought to be our purpose in life and in death. And we'll see that in a moment. So he pronounced a blessing. Now I want you to notice what it says here. Verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. All right? I mean, it's coming. It was imminent. Moses knew, my time is short. But he said, you know what? I want to bless you. I'm not bitter, right? Not angry that God won't let me in. I'm not, you know, I'm not upset that Joshua's going to take my place and take them into the promised land. It's all in God's purpose. Moses understood it. Moses got it. And I pray that God would help me too. God would help you too. It's important. And verse number 2 and 3 and 4, we learn some things. I want you to just look at this. In verse number 3, it says that God loves his people. God's people are special people. God loves his people. God loves you. You say, now God doesn't love me. Yes, he does too. There's people who don't even love themselves, and God loves them. That's right. I want you to understand that. See, God loves you whether you realize it or not. There was a long time in my life. Listen, it seemed like a long time. It wasn't really that long as I look back now over my life. But for the first 19 years of my life, I really never, and as a child, you don't think about those things. But when I came to the place of reason and understanding, I never thought about God loving me. I didn't know God loved me. I never gave that a second thought until the night I got saved. Leading up to that, I began to realize God loves me. And so this is very important. Moses, one of these people, knows, he said, I want to bless you. Is that what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 33? He said, I want to bless you. How can you be blessed? For somebody to tell you God loves you and you understand that. See, Moses said, I want to bless you. How can you bless me, Moses? I'm going to tell you God loves you. I want you to know God loves you. It's a great blessing for us to know and realize God loves us. I want you to understand God loves you. That's the first thing. Second thing. He said, you're in his hand. Look in verse number 3. He said, the saints of God are in thy hand. We talked about this last week. That's security. We're in the hand of God. I want to show you something else he says about security. Turn over, if you would. Turn over in verse number 12. Would you look at that in verse number 12? Look at the latter part of verse number 12. He's blessing the tribes of Israel. And this is what he said in verse number 12 of Benjamin. He said, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. He said, you know what? God's got you right here, Benjamin. He's got you between his shoulders. Amen. Notice what he says in verse number 25. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. strength and security. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Look in verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God's just bearing you up in his arms. God's got you between his shoulders. God has you in his hands. Brethren, that's a great place to be. The eternal God, in verse 27, that God has got you. You need to understand this. Say, well, I'm just out here on my own, flying solo. No, you're not. Not if you're a child of God, you're not. And you need to understand this, all right? God knows every care you have. God knows every trial you face. God orders many of them. Some things we bring on ourselves, and God still helps us. Amen. And so he said, I want to bless you. How are you going to bless me? Write me a check? No, I'm going to give you something better than money. I'm going to give you something money can't buy. I'm going to tell you how much God loves you and how much God cares for you and how God is protecting you and taking care of you. That's something money can't buy. And so he gave and instilled this knowledge. Look in verse 25 again, the latter part of that verse. What a great blessing this is. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You know, I look back over my life as a Christian, and before I even knew this was in the Bible, I realized it, but I didn't know that it was a Bible verse. But here it is right here. God takes care of his children. God gives you strength. Amen. I think there's, I don't know, like 330 days already passed, or maybe 320, 315 maybe. We're close to around 315. This already passed. Can I tell you, God gave you strength for every one of those days. That's why you're sitting here tonight. God gave you strength today. And God will give you strength. If you live, God will give you strength to the end of this year. And as you go into a new year, you can claim this promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. God's not going to let you live in a day that God's not going to be there with you. Amen. Amen. That's a promise. And so he said, I want you to know these things. He said, I want you to know, as we go back to verse number 3, you're loved, you're in his hands. And then he said, you should sit down at his feet. Why? To receive his words. God has a message for you. God wants to communicate with you. God wants to communicate with me. The world is a loud place. And it's just good to steal away and get at the feet of Jesus and listen to what the Master saith. Be still and know that he is God. And so he said, I want to bless you. And this is how he blesses them. He said in verse number 4, he said, God gave you a law. Through me, Moses commanded us a law. You say, well, Moses is speaking in third person here. Moses, he said, gave you the law. Aren't you glad for the word of God that navigates us through life? As a healing balm of Gilead and sorrow. All of these things, he's saying, it's just a blessing to you. Then he begins to pronounce blessings in verse number 5. He begins to pronounce blessings on the tribes of Israel. And I want, and I'm just going to highlight a few things, because I do want to move over and spend a little time in chapter 34 before we close tonight. Look in verse number 13. I want to point out a few things. I hope you'll underline them. There's this word that as I was reading kept coming up. I thought that's an unusual word. It's a word that it has a significance to we as the children of God. Look at verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven. There's our word, precious. And he keeps using it. Look at it. The precious things of heaven. Look at verse 14. And for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon. In verse number 15, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the everlasting hills. Look at verse 16. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof. He said, you know, God just savors the precious things for his people. Can I tell you, God gives us the chiefest and the most precious of things in life, doesn't he? God is good, brethren. I said, doesn't he? Amen. Don't get so accustomed to God's goodness that you take it for granted. Amen. We have it good, brethren. We have it good. God is so good to us. And you know, I know that we kind of focus on it around Thanksgiving time, but every day God is good to us. And God just, he's just precious to us. As a matter of fact, I want you to hold your place here. And I thought about this verse. I had to look it up. I knew Peter. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1. I knew Peter had written it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't exactly sure. And so I looked it up. It's in 1 Peter, if you'll turn there, in chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says something that is so true. So in Deuteronomy, Moses said, I want to bless you. Moses said, I want to bless you, and I'm going to bless you by reminding you God loves you, and God's taking care of you, and God will protect you, and God will provide for you, and he will enfold you in his everlasting arms, and he will uphold you, and God will just, he'll be there for you, as thy days show shall thy strength be. And he says, he's savoring the precious things for you. That's what he said. The precious things, the things that are precious. And then I thought of 1 Peter chapter 2. Are you there? Look at verse number 7. We'll start it back at verse number 6. He said, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Jesus is precious to us. Amen. And he gives us precious things. We are, if you go back to chapter number 1 and verse 19, we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Can you say that? Can you say that? Is Jesus precious to you? I mean, really. I hope to God that none of us are ashamed of the name of Jesus. The devil wants us to be. The enemy doesn't want you to mention that name. The generic name God in our day, it seems to be used by everybody. Some people use it in vain. Some people use it in slang. Rarely do people use it in magnifying that name. But the name of Jesus, brethren, is a name that God has greatly magnified and exalted. And we should hold that name and that person as precious to us. And here Peter said, it's so. When you realize who he is and what he has done, then you will view him as precious. Turn over to 2 Peter just for a moment, then we'll get back to Deuteronomy. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 4. This is something God has done. And I just, as I was looking at this, I thought about what Moses said. And we'll get back to it in just a moment. Remember what he said about Moses gave us the law? And he said that you should sit at his feet so you can receive or you hear his word. The word of God may be the most lightly regarded thing in all the world. It's the Word of God. If we could just really have that dawn on us, God didn't have to speak to us. But not only did God speak to us, he manifests himself to us through his Word. And he has given us a personal copy. Listen, there's probably no one in here that doesn't have less than 2 copies of the Word of God in your home. Now, there are places where people do not even have it in their language, in their native tongue. But we are so blessed, we have at least 2 copies of it in our native tongue in our homes. The Word of God. Look at what the Scripture says in verse number 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, and here's our word, precious promises. They're precious. God has given us promises, brethren. You can count on these promises. If God said it, it's going to happen. Or either already has or is in the process of happening. And so when we go back to Deuteronomy and we see what Moses is doing, Moses is essentially saying this: God has blessed you. God has He loves you. He takes care of you. But it, above all of that, God done something very special for you. You're getting ready to go into a land. Now, you read this. He takes it up in verse number 4 and 5. He says, you're getting ready to go into a land that God promised to your fathers. But I want to tell you something greater that God's giving you than that land you're getting ready to go into. It's His law. God's giving you His word. Don't ever take His word for granted. You know, I think we all probably have. I can't indict every person. I can only stand before you and be transparent and tell you that I certainly have taken God's word for granted. And God convicted me. I don't want to take the word of God for granted. I want to read it. I want to cleave to it. I want to obey it. I want to share it. I just want it to be precious to me. And so He said, you're going to the land. You're not going to be able to take your leader that you've learned to trust and has been with you through thick and thin in leading you to the brink of this land. He's not going in with you. But you know what? There's something greater than Him going in with you. My word is going in with you. Amen. I've given you my word, and that's greater than my man. All right? And so we find this, and then I want to get down as we bring this to a close. So how is this supposed to make Israel feel? How is this supposed to make God's people feel when Moses says, I want to bless you, and I want you to understand what God, how He feels about you and what He will do for you? Well, look at verse number 29. Happy art thou, O Israel. Amen. If they're not, they're broke. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is likened to thee, O people saved by the Lord. He said, my goodness, God delivered you, brought you through, and is getting ready to take you into this land. Don't you forget all God's done for you. You ought to be happy. You ought to be excited. You ought to be rejoicing. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is likened to thee. You've got it. Listen, you've got it good, brethren. You've got it good. We've got it good. Amen. Everybody ought to be saying amen. You say, I don't say amen. Well, this ought to be an exception. We've got it good, brethren. God has been so good to us. Well, I don't think God's been good to me. You're not looking clear enough. You're not really honing in. God is so good to us. Yeah, but you know, something bad happened. Something bad happens all the time. You know what? God can take the bad and make it good. He even tells us in His word He can do that. God knows how to work all those things together for our good and for His glory. Bad things happen to good people, but that doesn't mean God is bad. It just means we're under the curse. This old earth, this old world, it's just waiting for the redemption. It's groaning. One day, thank God, the curse is going to be lifted. Amen. So He said, I want to bless you. I want to tell you how good God is to you and how much you mean to God and how He'll take care of you and He'll never leave you. And He's been with you and He's your strength. When you didn't think you would have strength, God gave you strength. When you didn't know where it come from, it was God that gave it to you. And that's what Moses is saying. He said, I want to bless you. Now, in our remaining time, I'm just going to go back 5 or 10 minutes here. I'm not going to finish. So I just want to highlight a couple things about our man Moses, okay? So we get over to chapter number 34, and the Bible says something very interesting here. Okay, this Moses' death was just, it's just different in every way. So the scripture says in verse number 1 of chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo. And the scripture says he went to the top of Pisgah and over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And basically what he's saying is he showed him the land from every angle. Okay, he started out and he showed him the land to the east. And then he showed him the land to the north and to the west and to the south. He showed him this land, all right? And he said, you can look at it. You're going to see this land. He said, but now you're not going in, all right? But now there's a statement made about Moses that really caught my attention. Look at verse number 5, okay? Well, before we do that, I want you to see what it said. Look at the latter part of verse 4. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. All right? You see that in verse number 4, chapter 34? You know the story. I'm not going to go into it. Moses was disobedient. He struck the rock, right? And he was disobedient. God said, listen, he said, you know what? You're not going to go into the land. Now, just in case somebody is saying, you know what, that is hard. Well, God can do whatever he wants to do, first of all. I want to make this very clear. God can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants, however he wants. He's God. God answers to no man. See, that's the problem with our society today. We have people who genuinely believe God owes them an explanation. God doesn't owe us no explanation, brethren. I'm just thankful that he chooses to communicate with us. Amen. Amen. But he certainly doesn't owe us an explanation. I'm not saying God won't give you one if he chooses to. I'm just saying God doesn't owe you one. All right? So we need to understand that. The second thing I want you to know about this is that Moses really did get to go into the land. He just didn't get to go in this life. All right? So God takes Moses to heaven. And when you turn over to Luke, we'll not do it tonight. We may do it another time. You turn over to Luke. It's in Matthew 17. It's in Mark 9. In Luke chapter 9, the scripture says that Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? Many people believe that was Mount Tabor. I think it probably was. I can't prove that 100%, but I believe it was Mount Tabor, okay? And so who was on that mount with Jesus? Elijah and Mount Tabor in the Promised Land? Come on, folks. Yes. So he did get to go, all right? So, see, God is gracious. God is gracious. I like what John said. John said, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In Moses' life, the representative of the law will not get you into the promised land. But when Jesus came, it got the law, right? It encompassed the law, and Moses ended up in the promised land. That's God's grace, all right? It just is. So, what does the Bible say about this man Moses? Look at verse number 5. So Moses, verse number 5, the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Now what's the Bible call Moses in verse 5? The servant of the Lord. If you'll remember in chapter 33, go back there just for a moment. Look at verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God. These are great titles for an individual. All right? The man of God, the servant of God. I wonder what your title is. I'm a foreman. Well, I'm not talking about what the world, some title the world gave you. We get really caught up in the titles that the world gives us, don't we? I mean, it means a lot to us. I wonder what title God has given you. I can tell you what he gave Moses, the man of God. The servant of God. I can tell you one that he's given, if you're saved, he's given you a title. The sons of God. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be called a son of God? A child of God? That's a wonderful thing. Think about that. A child of God. That's a wonderful, wonderful title. And so God thought very highly of Moses. I want you to know that. The people didn't. Until it was too late. You'll see as you read this, and we'll go into it in verse number 8, they wept for 30 days. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. 30 straight days they mourned and wept for this man. When you read the Old Testament, 7 days the time that they normally would mourn over a loved one. 7 days. But for 30 straight days they mourned and wept. You know, it took this man dying before they realized what they had or what they lost. Don't you let that happen to you with someone in your life. Okay? Life has a way. It just does. Life has a way of blinding us and leading us to think that things are always going to be as they are, but they're not. And so these people no doubt thought, well, Moses will always be with us. He was with us with our father's generation, and he's with us now, and he'll be with us on. Nope. And so that's something I learned here. As I read through this, it helps me to understand some things about death. And so I want to talk to you just a little bit about that in for about 5 minutes. Okay? Let's read this, what it says. And so it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. Number one, I want you to write this down. You can serve God until you die. Okay? So, well, I'm going to serve God until I'm about 62, 65, somewhere in there. Then I'm going to retire and just, boy, I'm going to do my thing. No, you do God's thing until you die. Amen. Amen. You serve God until you die. That's what God wants you to do. Now listen, you may do it in a different capacity when you're 65 than you did when you were 45. You can say amen there too. That's right. You may not be able to do it the way you did when you were 45 when you turned 65, but you can serve God until you die. You may be serving God on laying on your back praying for God's people, praying for God's servant. I don't know how God's going to have us serving, but you can serve God until you die. Moses did, and you can too. The second thing I want you to notice is finish your course. Finish your course. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. As far as I can tell, I've looked at this and looked at this. It just simply means what it says. Moses wasn't getting hard of hearing, hard of seeing. His faculties were not weakening or dimming. He still had strength. He still had wherewithal. His natural force, I believe that means his real physical energy. Yes, you read back in a couple of chapters earlier where it says that he couldn't do what he used to could do, but nor can you. All right. Right? Amen. And when also there are those that believe when it says his natural force was unabated, it means to procreate. That he could still procreate, bring forth life. So Moses didn't die because his body wore out and because he got sick and died of natural causes. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture makes it very clear that Moses died because God said, Moses, it's time to come home. You finished your course. You fulfilled my purpose in your life. You can do that too. I can do that too. And when we do, it's the way to die. This is the way to die right here. Amen. Where God says, okay, it's time. And Moses said, let's do this. Right? I don't see anywhere Moses is kicking and screaming. He finished his course. God said, I want you to go to the top of Mount Nebo. And the scripture says, look at verse number 6, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. The Lord willing, in another message that we may preach out of this chapter, there's some interesting things about this. We know that Michael, it appears now from Jude, the book of Jude, verse 9, that Michael was the archangel, was somehow involved in the burial of Moses. I don't know how, I don't know if he was there to guard or if he was actually a part of that, but I know that he did contend with Satan, the devil, over the body of Moses. The scripture says that. Could you imagine if they could have set up some kind of image of Moses, the children of Israel? I mean, these people were bent toward idolatry. Could you just imagine what that would have been? And God always knows what's best. So number one, the scripture says, when you die, serve the Lord until you die. Number two, finish your course. Don't quit. Don't quit. You do what God's called you to do. Now, I will say this, and this is going to apply to many in this service tonight. You may have to change what you do, but God will show you. Please listen to me. God will show you what to do, all right? God's not going to leave you here with nothing to do. Say amen with me now. Listen, I'll be through here in just a moment, but I don't want to lose you right here. There are so many people that think, well, you know what? I've done my tour. Well, listen, if you've done your tour for God, then God's going to call you home. When you get through, when God gets through with you, God's calling you home. So if God hasn't called you home, that is a sure sign God's not through with you. Amen. So I'm encouraging now. I'm not fussing at you. I'm encouraging you. Serve God until you die. Serve God until you die. Finish your course. Put your hand to the plow, and plow to Jesus takes you home. Number three. Look at verse number 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Before you leave here, impact somebody's life to take your place. Yes. Amen. Find you some people to impart wisdom and impact their life. If it's just one person, pass the torch to them. The laying on of the hands. Listen, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God didn't permanently indwell people. The Spirit of God came upon people for a special service or task. The laying on of hands was for commission and for approval of ministry. And so Moses here is saying, you're the one. I'm leaving. It's your turn. Right? Yeah, these are great things we can learn from Moses' death. And there's more. Let me give you one more, and then I'll be done tonight, okay? I want you to notice in verse number 10, the scripture says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. What a statement. What a statement. Here's a man that made God a priority in his life. And that's why he could die the way he died. God was a priority. He knew him face to face. That just means closeness. That means a closeness in his walk, that God was a priority in his life. I encourage you, make God the priority in your life. The devil's going to try to get you to place anything and everything before God as the priority in your life. He'll even have you believing that there's maybe a family member, maybe a job, maybe a hobby. I don't know what it is. He'll have you believing, oh, but now this has got to be here. No, God is the priority. He's the number one priority in all of our lives. God is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's all stand to our feet, please, and we'll have a word of prayer. These are just some things about winding down the book of Deuteronomy and the leadership of a man by the name of Moses. And Moses lived a great life. As a matter of fact, I hesitate a little bit, but I really don't know outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a man in the history of the world that was as important to the world as we know it as Moses. What a man. What a man. When you look at all of his accomplishments and how God spoke with him face to face and what God did through him and how God led him, there's a man that was born in the home of slaves, brethren. Don't you ever use your upbringing or your birthplace. Well, I can't do anything for God. A man that was born in the home of slaves. We're still talking about him. God took him out of that home and floated him down a river and put him in the palace of the king. God did that. And maybe he thought he was a little something, and God said, well, I'm going to send you now to a desert. And God trained him, didn't he? What an adventurous life when we live for God. Let's bow our heads together. Are you living for the Lord?